Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome, my friends, to Jock Talk, episode 90. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. Hope you are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so. Dog, what's the sit report?
The light is red. And we are 5x5. Operation Shock Talk is a go.
Glad to hear that. What's up, man?
It's all good.
I'm laughing at myself.
Why is that?
I sat here all morning going, it's sit rep, man.
Sit
report. Because, you know, I'm me. I have some funny stories to tell you about me being me later on today. But what I need you to do right now is take 2 seconds to go to the YouTube channel, The Real Shock Talk. Subscribe, like, leave a comment. We appreciate it. We got some big things going on in May, which is only 3 weeks from now, that we're going to let you in on. And we need your support over there to make it happen. So we appreciate that. You can also follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. You can hit me on Twitter at JJT Journalist. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor is the handle. And if you think you follow me, you don't, because somebody hijacked my account. It's been a long, sad story, but that's what it is. And then I would really appreciate it if you follow me on Clapper at I Am Jean-Jacques Taylor. See, I can't make it any simpler than that. I do a lot of cowboy videos over there, put a lot of Cowboys news over there. It's kind of like the home of my Cowboys content. So if you want that, go there and check it out. Now, hey, I need y'all to remember this. If you're ever involved in an accident, it's not your fault. What you got to do, man, pick up the phone, call 972-934-8900. It's really that simple. Tell the person your situation, hey, here's the deal, here's what happened to me. And I'm telling you, if Grinning Law brings you on as a client, it's been a fantastic day for you. Just happened to a listener last week, a couple weeks ago. Had an accident, called Grinning Law, he's now a client. And what they do is they literally take care of everything so that you can focus on getting your body right. Yeah, I mean, we say it all the time, get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. And they allow you to do that because, hey, if you need a doctor's appointment, guess what? They'll find you a doctor and set up an appointment for you. If you need a specialist because you got something special going on, hey, they'll find a specialist for you, set up an appointment for you. All you got to do is show up because they want you focused on two things and two things only. That is healing and renewal. Get your mind right. Get your body right. Get your life back. It's really that simple. I like to tell y'all, though, because a lot of people are like, hey, what kind of fees are involved? This is that. Nothing. The consultation is free. Don't cost you anything to pick up the phone, 972-934-8900, and call them. Nor does it cost you anything while they're working your case. They don't get paid unless you get paid. It's really that simple. It doesn't get any better than that. And the thing about Grinning Law is because they walk you through the process, you, my friends, don't have to worry about being intimidated, being scared, being nervous, having anxiety. None of that, because they're telling you all along the way how to handle it, what to do, how not to get uptight. Hey, when to walk, when to run, when to crawl, when to sit, when to stand. They do all of that for you. So all you got to do is what? Focus on healing and renewal. Real talk. Get your mind right, get your body right, get your life back. It's really that simple. Have I got something for you today, dog? I think it's for you. I think you'll enjoy it.
You got to do number 90, dog.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I was so excited to get on to this. Number 90, who could that be outside of Tank Lawrence?
Man, I was thinking, what number was Alonzo Spellman?
I think it's Alonzo Spellman.
Yeah, we both think the same thing.
I mean, it could be Jay Ratliff.
Ah, Jay Ratliff, too. Yeah, I tell you what. I remember when we was in Wichita Falls. Because I think I've been to two camps with you, Austin and Wichita Falls. And I remember Alonzo Spellman was on the team. And I was just amazed. He was like, man, that's a big human being, ain't it? I was like, hell yeah. some guys are big, and some guys are just big.
The two biggest humans I've ever been around who really, I was just like, oh my God. It was probably three, now that I think about it. One of them is Alonzo Spellman, and the other one is Chad Hennings, and the other one is Tyron Smith. Just massive human beings. And what sets them apart to me is they were all like in the 6'5 to 6'7 range, but they were all cats who were like 300 pounds but weren't fat. Like, they all had abs.
Just when big people.
You see somebody that big and that thick with abs, you're just like, oh my God. Like, they, I mean, they look like, you know, action figures. And it's, but they're so big. I mean, it's not like basketball players who are tall, but, I mean, they're abnormally tall, but they're lean. You know, they're not heavily muscled most of the time. And so, even though they're big, they, you know, you can get, you know, awed by their size sometimes, but they just don't appear to be massive human beings.
Although, it's the, it's the measurables. Like when I think Spellman was 6'5", 290. Yeah. But he looked
He seemed taller than that.
Well, it maybe was I'm two, wrong. But I'm saying it was 290 of all muscle.
Yeah.
That's it. And I looked at Chad Hennings, and I remember he flew A-10s in the doggone Air Force, and I go, I think in the Air Force he was 6'5", 260. And then he got huge at the, with the Cowboys. He became a 300-pounder with the Cowboys. But I was thinking, man, how the hell did you fit in an A-10? They must have had to gut that thing to get you in there.
No, you are correct. Alonzo Spellman, 6'4". He also had, he had like the longest arms ever.
Yeah.
Clarence likes to tell the story of, maybe it wasn't Clarence, maybe it was Brad Sham. Not that I should ever confuse the two. But Alonzo was sitting in the seat. Must have been Sham because Clarence wouldn't have been on the team playing. Alonzo was sitting in his seat on a plane, reached up with his left arm, undid the overhead compartment, pulled out his duffel bag, and put it back up there without standing up.
Yeah, that's some long ass arms right there. Yeah. Yeah,
those are some long arms right there. He had the longest arms I remember ever seeing on an athlete.
Yeah.
But that's the number 90 for you. But here's the treat that I got for you today, Doc. I think it's a treat anyway. We are going to go draft for the Cowboys today. And we're going to have our own mock draft. I already kind of set it up.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, I ain't do no research at all.
No, I mean, dog, I'm not. Okay, here's the deal. Here's the difference between me and other folks. Other folks sit up here and they want to tell you, I did this mock draft and I did it, I did. It ain't that serious to me. I don't get paid millions of dollars to do it. And this is not a sexy draft to me, meaning Cowboys picking the 20s, so it's not like you're expecting to get somebody who's going to turn the team around. Doesn't mean you can't, TJ Watt. Doesn't mean you can't. Just means you don't expect them to. Number two, you kind of expect them to turn to draft an offensive lineman, which, again, is a necessary pick, an invaluable pick, an invaluable position, but it's not somebody in the 20s that you're like all gung-ho about, to me. And so that's why I'm like, you know, it's important, obviously, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to study left tackle, right tackle, and all of that because it's just not sexy to me. That being said, I did a lot of heavy lifting for you because I knew you would say that. So here we go with the Cowboys draft. Just follow my lead, my brother. And this is the first thing we got to do off the rip. Now, I made a decision, but I need to know your thoughts on it. Before the draft even gets started, my phone was ringing in the Cowboys war room, and Cincinnati called, dog, and they said, hey, for the 24th pick in the draft, we'll give you number 49, number 97, and a second round pick next year. You got any interest in that?
Hell no, not at all. We want our first round pick now.
You are nicer than me. I told Mike Brown, hey, man, I appreciate it. Let me think about it for just a second. I'll call you back. But you said, hell no.
Yeah, That's courteous right there. Well, Mike Brown knows me. If Mike Brown knows me, he knows hell no is the best answer he gonna get. No, man, I don't want that.
Here come your boy from the Rams. He too is called. He has offered us the 52nd pick, the 83rd pick, the 217th pick, and a second round pick next year.
No. I'm not trading out the first round. We feel like we a contender right now. We're not gonna worry about next year.
Jacksonville, just want to make sure, they have offered you the 48th pick, the 96th pick, a second and a fourth next year.
No. I got my eye on one player, and I can't get him in the second round. I got my own one guy that I think that's going to help us that people are kind of iffy on, and I think I can do the damn thing.
Okay.
So that's my strategy right there.
All right, well, coming up to the 24th pick, here's who's available. Latu, the defensive end from UCLA. Nate Wiggins, the cornerback from Clemson. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I might draft him just off his name, and we can make some money marketing for the Cowboys. Jackson Power Smith, the center, Tyler Newbin, is available. The tackles have cleared the board. And so with the 24th pick, man, I really think the best selection is the center from Oregon, and allow him to get solidified in there. By all accounts, he's like a 8 to 10 year starter, and just get the middle of your line solidified. You could always kick Tyler Smith out there to tackle if you need be, but that would be my vote.
All right, I guess it's your world, so I don't know. I mean, because Sim from Georgia is like the 22nd rated player.
He ain't started but 8 games.
I can work with that. He's been coached up at Georgia the whole time, and it's been some good players in front of him. I understand that there's a small sample size, but guess what? He can play. If he ain't no good at tackle, you can move his big butt down the guard. He's 6'8", 340. And I hate to sound cliche, but he got some athleticism. He got some punch. I've actually watched tape, and he got a good bend to him. And he got good feet. He been playing at Georgia. It ain't like Mitchell Trubisky or some of these guys that started. You playing a quarterback. Things happen fast at the offensive line. You either can play or you can't. And you can get coached up. So I like Sims. That's my guy. That's why I'm not trading out the first round. Now, if he off the board and somebody want to come trade back, want me to trade back, I might do that. But that's my guy. That would be my guy, because guess what? If you hit on him and he can play tackle, then you set for the next 10 years on your left side. If he can't play tackle, you move him in the guard.
I would say – ordinarily, I would agree with that. But 6'8 is awfully tall to be trying to play guard.
There's some big guards in there. If you got bend, you can do it. You can do it. What's the difference between 6'7 and a half and 6'8?
Oh, I think both of them are big to play guard. I mean, like my guards around 6'3, 6'2, 6'4. Not 6'7, 6'8.
I like guards who can play. I don't care how big they are. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you got guys that move down inside that are big. I wouldn't – the one guy I would draft is the Latham guy from Alabama. I ain't drafting no tackles from Alabama.
What's wrong with them, man?
DJ Fluka, Alex Leatherwood. Alex Leatherwood is special. DJ Fluka kind of bounced around the league, but Alex Leatherwood was gone in 2 years with the Raiders. Mm. And now I think he out the league. So, them guys are good at Alabama, but I don't know that they do much in the show, But I like the kid from Georgia. I think he a baller. Usually you can't go wrong with Georgia guys anyway, because that program is tight and iron sharpen iron. Them guys practice every day. They're some of the best players in the league. And you got a lot of the guys from Georgia don't have a lot of production. What's my man name? Number 44 in Jacksonville. He played defensive tackle. Now he killing people at defensive end. His measurables was good. He was off the charts anyway. Same thing with Sims.
So the bottom line is we had this conversation. Mims is available. Powers Johnson is available. Who are we taking?
Give me the bio on Powers Johnson right quick.
6'3", 328. 21-year-old with strong, dense, well-leveraged frame, great mass, quick acceleration.
It's a guard, right?
It's a guard. He's a center.
Well, he can play both, probably. Man.
Well, yeah, I mean, man, he can play both. But we need a center, and you're trying to take a little pressure off of Dak in terms of having to do everything up front. This is a guy who's supposed to be a walk-in, unquestioned start. He's the best center in the draft.
Man, yeah, I'm going to just I ain't gonna go back and forth like, I'm going to take the center. I'm going to go ahead and take the center because the quickest way to the quarterback is inside.
All right.
I'm going to take the center.
We have taken the center with the Cowboys. And, of course, Mims goes with the next pick to Green Bay.
Yeah, ain't that some shit? You know what? I don't want to be in the war room with you, dog. I don't know. Mills. Hey, dog. Let's take this in. All right, then, fine. You know what I'm saying? And then he go to Green Bay, and I'm gonna be mad. Yeah, there you go. I got you. That's some bullshit.
Like, come on, man. I mean, he wasn't gonna be around there in the second round.
That's why you don't trade down. I'm not arguing with the Cowboys on what they do, because when they drafted Frederick, I was like, hell no. And I was not listening. Oh, he got a second round grade. What they draft him, 31? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the second round. Yeah, what are we talking about? That's the top of the second round, pretty much. So, now
I do have I think I may have a very interesting choice for you in the second round. As we work through this mock draft, could be an interesting choice in the second round. And we're not going to go too deep because I think after the fourth round, you're just throwing darts, hoping you get, hope a guy's fault. I mean, the Cowboys would tell you they're throwing darts on guys who have one really nice skill in the second round. After the fourth round. And then just basically a crapshoot. Oh, here's the guy I thought might be available, but he was just taken, was Michael Penix Jr. And I was like, if he's available in the second round, he's interesting because he's capable of being your long-term starter. And you just tell Dak, hey, this is your last year. Go do what you're going to do. But he's not available. He's gone. Now, here's an interesting trade for you. I bet you accept this. Buffalo, for the 56th pick, Buffalo wants to give you I don't know if you'll take this or not. Here it is anyway. For the 56th pick and the 174th pick, Buffalo will give you the 60th pick this year and a third round pick next year to move down four spots.
We got too many holes, man.
We need to move down four spots.
Yeah, we need to draft as high as we can. We need to keep our value in our picks. We need to draft. I ain't moving nowhere. We need to draft.
You don't even want to move down two spots to Green Bay and get a fourth round pick next year.
Not worried about next year. I'm just telling you. If Jerry ain't all in, my ass is all in. You understand? I'm not worried.
Rejected Buffalo.
I'm a draft fool on Madden where I've traded this and that and that. We got too many holes, man, right now to be trying to trade back and all this, trying to take them calculated risks and missing on players and all that.
Well, here we go in the second round. The guys available, Trey Benson, running back.
Florida State.
Cowboys, I believe, had him in on a 30 visit. And what you need to know is when the Cowboys bring you in on a 30 visit, they trying to grab you. They ain't keeping no secrets. You got Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of A&M, is available. You got Michael Hall Jr., defensive tackle from Ohio State. You got Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle from Michigan, available. You got Peyton Wilson, badass linebacker from North Carolina State, who is always hurt. And then you got Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Texas, is available. Any of those names excite you?
Benson and Brooks. Benson ran 4.38 at the combine. And Benson is about 220 pounds, and he can go.
Benson seemed like the guy to me. 6 foot 216.
Yeah.
He seems like the best running back available to me. The best in the draft, the guy that they need, a walk-in starter for the Cowboys. He seems to me to be the obvious pick. Is that where you would go?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He can go. See, I mean,
we ain't got to waste a whole lot of time on that one.
Yeah, we ain't got to trade down either. Let's just take our guy and get the hell on.
Well, I mean, we could have got a couple. We could have got that second next year and still got Brooks at 60 if he was gone.
Maybe.
Well, let me see where Brooks went. As we wait for our third round pick to come up.
Didn't he come off of knee surgery?
Yeah.
All right. We taking your boy. Because I know the Cowboys did surgery on Brooks. Their surgeon or the surgeon they know or something like that. But still, yeah. I take the guy that ain't banged up versus the guy got banged up.
All right, in the third round, what position are you looking for? You got a running back. You have an offensive lineman. It seems like a linebacker. Time to pick up a linebacker to me.
Yeah, linebacker. Or if it's a guard available.
That man said he's trying to find a guard. Who's going to play guard? Because you're moving Tyler Smith out to tackle since we took the center?
Yeah, the most important group on your football team is the offensive line.
Okay, there's Christian Mahogany. He's the highest-rated player on the board. You can get him to guard out of Boston College. 6'3", 314, sports a massive, dense, well-leveraged frame. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Able to drop an anchor. Hip stiffness on redirection. You know, has room to play tighter with his hands. Took center snaps at the Shrine Bowl. He's there if you want a guard. If you want a defensive tackle, you got Mason Smith out of LSU. You got McKinley Jackson out of A&M. Dwayne Carter out of Duke. And if you want a linebacker, you got Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. James Williams out of the U. Tyron Hooper out of Missouri. Jalen Ford out of Texas. You know, we already into the names who don't ring a bell with me. So, you know.
Cooper out of Missouri or either the guard.
I was trying to see where. Yeah, you could have got Brooks at 60. Brooks didn't go to 62 until Buffalo. All right, so what you want here? You want the guard?
Yeah, we'll take the guard. If you're gonna move Tyler, take the guard. You got to have offensive line. You got to put some value. If you can't discover nobody later on and that you hit on and it was amazing and 6th, 7th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 5th, 6th, 7th round, then you got to put some value in your offensive line.
Okay, I mean, I ain't mad at you. And to me, that's where, because Cowboys don't have a 4th-round pick. They don't have a 5th-round pick, so they're not picking again into the 6th. That is, you're throwing darts at the board then.
Cowboys always been good at signing undrafted guys, too. They always been pretty good at finding somebody.
No, I mean, they do, but as we discussed with Todd Archer on Wednesday's show, I mean, you can find guys, but you can't be counting on those guys to walk in and contribute.
Right, right.
You know, now they may walk in and contribute.
Right.
But you can't be like, oh, yeah, we finna get these undrafted free agents in. Yeah, we know this guy's going to come in and do that thing for us. It just normally doesn't work like that.
Well, that's another reason why I say you got to keep your value in the draft. All that old trading back and doing that voodoo hoodoo shit, you need to go on and just keep your draft picks and, you know, do what you're going to do. I mean, I hate that when they trade back. Get this guy, get that. Man, take that fool and go on about your business. I mean, you don't need to take a guy rated at 35 and take him at 7. You don't need to do that. But, you know, draft your guy and have a plan. You know who's a perfect example of that? An old Buckeye, Ted Ginn. The Dolphins drafted him, didn't know what to do with him. What that dude end up playing? 13 years or something? And was productive as hell.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, why draft this guy 7 or wherever they drafted him? I can't remember. I think it was 7. And you didn't have no plan. You had no coaching, no nothing. Some guys ain't ready right out the box.
In the 5th round, or I guess this is the 6th round, you still got a couple blinking lights on here, but they're not in positions that you want. What do you want? There's linebacker Evan Casey from Indiana. This is more about what position you want, because I don't know that you'll recognize any of these names.
I would take the best position available. If it's a linebacker, it's all good. If it's a DB, take another DB.
There's Aaron Casey, the linebacker out of Indiana. I think that's a compensatory pick from the 5th round. Or it could just be a regular pick. It's a 5th round pick.
Is he a little guy? Is he a big guy? What is he?
No, he about, I've already moved on. I think he was 6'1", 235.
Yeah, if you take him, that's a special team. That sounds like a special team guy. He can't be that little and slow. He probably can run. So now you got somebody to play special teams too.
I wonder if Stiggers has been drafted yet. We'll have to go see, because Cowboys pick is coming up. We'll see if Quantez Stiggers has been drafted yet. Looks like Quantez Stiggers has been drafted. All right, see, 6th round. You want a cornerback? You want a linebacker? What do you want? You want a safety? I mean, you know.
Linebackers and DBs at that pick can't never hurt unless somebody falls at running back.
You want Jordan Whittington from Texas, the wide receiver?
Yeah, we'll take him.
I mean, he was a fast guy.
He's tough too. And he come from an NFL bloodline too.
Go ahead.
His uncle was Arthur Whittington.
I was going to ask you, Arthur Whittington. That was one of my first heroes, running back for SMU.
Number 22 with the Raiders, I think.
Yep, he was running back probably the late 70s, early 80s. He preceded Eric Dickerson and James, so he's probably mid-70s. He's probably 76, 77.
Yeah, Arthur Whittington, yeah. Not a superstar, but a good NFL player and a Texan, yeah.
He was a superstar to me at SMU.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that concludes. Let me see. Who the Cowboys got up next? Oh, we got 2 more picks. Pick 233 and pick 244. Oh, there's Quantez Stiggers, man. We're going to take him. Joe's like, who is Quantez Stiggers?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why we're taking Quantez Stiggers. Quantez Stiggers is a guy who didn't play college football. He had some tragedy in his life. His dad died in a car accident. He was a player at Lane College in Tennessee. Dad died in a car accident, was in a coma for 9 months before he actually died. Quantez dropped out of school to help take care of his family. Then he got depressed because of his father's death. He's played in some... It wasn't even the Arena League. It was some other kind of satellite football league. Went to a tryout for the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. Made the team and was CFL Defensive Rookie of the Year playing cornerback. And he was going straight to the NFL. But because his class hadn't played college football, they had to put him in the East-West Shrine game to get him some college looks to make him eligible for the draft. Talked to several scouts at the East-West Shrine game, which was in Frisco, who said they expected him to be anywhere between 3rd and the 5th round. So to find him there floating around at the 7th round, he's a guy who could walk in and contribute and be like, wow, we got a real player right there. So that's why we're taking Quantes stickers.
Gotcha.
I also did a documentary on Quantes stickers. I was participating in a documentary on Quantes stickers, which is why I know so much about him.
Where is he from?
He's from Atlanta. But he played last year with the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL.
Yeah, okay.
And now for the Cowboys' final pick. Logan Lee, defensive tackle. There's some defense. Oh, you know who I would take at this pick? I'll see what you think about it. This is in Mike McCarthy. Sam Hartman, quarterback from Notre Dame.
And yeah, I don't know. I mean, the quarterback room. I mean, even if you was taking Michael Penix, the quarterback room would be crowded, man.
Why is it crowded?
Because you got number 10, you got number 15, and you got Penix, and you got Dak.
Okay, but we didn't take Penix, so.
But I'm saying, now you take another guy, quarterback.
He going to be, one of two things going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Cooper Rush is not going to be here next year. We're trying to run him off. We need Trey Lance to be the backup. And if Trey Lance can't beat out Cooper Rush for the backup job, then Trey Lance probably ain't going to be here. Because he's going to get every opportunity to beat out Cooper Rush for the backup job. And then even if Hartman doesn't make it, he's your practice squad developmental quarterback.
If a linebacker got two legs, two eyes, and two arms.
Luke Reimer out of Nebraska.
Take another one. Yep.
Okay. Luke Reimer is done.
The year they drafted CD Awuzier and number two, Deion Lewis, and who's the other guy? They drafted like three. Oh, yeah, they drafted three corners because they had a problem at corner.
I don't know. I know they did that back in 2002.
Nah, it was Deion Lewis and Chidi. I think them guys in the same class, same draft class. They went cornerback, defensive back heavy that year. And they found some players, even though they didn't keep some of them. But they actually found some players.
All
right. So, you know, go linebacker heavy, you're going to find some. Go defense. I mean, I wouldn't mind to go defense. I mean, we got the offensive line out the way. Maybe where you draft Whittington, maybe you draft a defensive lineman or a linebacker. But
you said Deion Lewis. You meant Jordan Lewis.
Jordan Lewis, yeah. Jordan Lewis.
He took a Chido Awuzie, Jordan Lewis in the third round, and Marquez White in the sixth round.
Yeah.
All right, well, the draft is over, and the Cowboys have selected Jackson Power Smith at center. Trey Benson at running back is his second-round pick. Christian Mahogany, your guard from Boston College, is your third-round pick. Aaron Casey, fifth-round pick, Jordan Whittington. Whittington is in the sixth round. Quantes Stiggers, seventh round. Luke Reimer, linebacker, Nebraska, seventh round. That's actually not a bad draft, bro. How you feel about that?
I'll take it. Like I said, you got to keep your value. All that old jumping around the board stuff, that annoys the hell out of me. I ain't going back, going back to get, man. You know, the best players at the top, and them guys do a good job of scouting.
I like that draft because I think it gives you the running back and solidifies your offensive line. You got a chance with Stiggers to get a real contributor. You got a chance with Whittington. It's probably a little offensive heavy, but maybe not. I'm a big believer as can you just get guys who can play? We figure out what to do with them later.
Yeah.
And think this draft falls into that. I'll throw it out there on X to the people and see what they say about it. Because, you'll have all kind of comments from the peanut gallery. But we'll see that. We'll see what they say about it in a little bit. Let's move on to your new favorite topic, or one of your favorite topics. How about that? I had an interesting thought about the Texas Rangers this weekend. And I wondered if this was going to be the case. Because I'm not breaking any news here. I'm a big believer, a huge believer. Again, I'm not breaking any news with this. Just about how confidence just plays such a role in sports. And some people would be like, well, duh, But I don't think enough people really take into account what confidence can do for a player, for a team, for an organization when they really truly believe. Because I say this all the time. You can say you believe, but in your heart of hearts, you don't really believe. But when you really believe, it's amazing how you can play. And here's what I'm getting at. You know, one of the truest things Bill Parcells ever said, and it's one of the things I internalized, is that what is confidence? His confidence, his definition of confidence is demonstrated ability to do something. So once you have demonstrated the ability to do something, you have confidence that you can do it again. And then you build upon that confidence by replicating whatever you've done time and time and time again, you know, until you truly believed it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's very true. I sit there and listen to you and let it sink in. Yeah, that's true. Because confidence is one of them things where you don't know when you see it, but you know when it's missing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I mean,
we say it all the time. We see it all the time in sports. And so here's what I'm getting at with the Texas Rangers. They had a good team last year, obviously, because they basically led the AL West wire to wire, losing the division on the final day to the Houston Astros. But during the regular season, Houston Astros beat them 9 out of 13 times. They led the series 9-4, and ultimately that's why they won the division and had home field advantage in the playoffs, because they beat Texas 9 out of 13 times during the regular season. So when Texas went to Houston and won those first two games of the series, it gave them some confidence, obviously, that they could win in Houston, they could compete against the Astros in the ALCS, and they had a chance to win it, to beat them. And, you know, then when they went down to Houston and clinched the series, I think, to me, that was even a bigger deal than had they clinched it at home after that 2-0 lead. Because remember, they came back from blowing the lead in the ninth inning to the Astros to winning the last two games in Houston and then going on to win the World Series.
I'm sorry, man. The Rangers are the exact opposite of the Cowboys. The Cowboys are front runners. The Rangers are, let's go to your house. Let's get down a little bit. And when all the odds stacked against us, we're going to come back and kick your ass.
Well, I think that's a fair point. I think that's the result that goes into
your confidence deal, though. They're not panicking. And that's what, you know, that's the demonstrated ability. Why am I going to panic? Because I know I'm going to put together whatever I got. Keep advancing toward me, because I know in about 5 seconds I'm going to put together whatever I got. That's about to blow your shit up. Y'all keep coming.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they won. I mean, that's how they beat the Cubs in the first series of the season. They came from behind in game one and beat them. They came from behind in game two and beat them. And they were down. They came back from three runs twice before they finally fell apart in the third game of that series, and they lost. But what I'm getting at is I wanted to see how this first four-game series would go. And through the first two games, they play again today. You guys will know the result of game three when you're listening to this. But they won the first two games 10-2 and 7-2, 17-4. And what I came out from that was they no longer give a damn about the Astros. Like, the Astros have been the bullies on the block. And when they beat them last year, they just didn't beat them and go to the World Series. They walk around like, you ain't no better than us no more. And so they play with a certain swag that's implied when they play Houston, where, you know, they no longer have any fear of Houston whatsoever. Houston's just another team. They're a good team. They're a team they respect. That's just another team on their schedule. And I think that's the attitude that they brought into this series, and that's why they didn't kick their butt the first two games of the series, because they play with a certain attitude toward the Astros now, and it's the Astros who have to now figure out how can we regain some of this mental edge we had over the Rangers. And I don't know that it's not that they're going to beat the Astros in every game this year, obviously. It's just that, you know, the mental hurdle has been cleared. The Texas Rangers feel that they're a better ball club, and they're going to play like it as opposed to trying to prove that they are a better ball club, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I tell you what I like about baseball is that you can do something else while you watch a baseball game. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like an NFL game or a basketball game. It
doesn't require your full attention.
It does not. And that's the one thing I love about baseball. You can listen to it, halfway ass watch it, and you're going to get all the action. Even though they sped the game up, you know, it's still a great thing. I like the fact that they don't give a damn when they play Houston. Like, they care about beating their ass, but it ain't no, it's not no nerves about it. It's like, y'all, you know, we got y'all. I said this before, it's just a good thing to have a true great rivalry. You know, I had a friend of mine from Houston go, you know what, F Dallas. We don't care about the Rangers. I said, you're a little off on the city. It's Arlington. It ain't Dallas. So you cussing the wrong city. You know, you so confused by where you at and where I'm at. You go to Dallas, look for the Rangers. They ain't there, man. They in Arlington. Same thing. No, it's not. But all right then.
And the byproduct of that is I was looking up, and I also believe this to be true. And, like, the Astros are going to win 90 games this year. But they're off to a slow start. You realize they are already 4.5 games behind the Rangers right now?
It's a long season.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're off to a slow start. But what that does is it puts you in chase mode early. And no team wants to be in chase mode. Now, if there was a game or two back like everybody else, it wouldn't be a big deal. But the fact that they played the Rangers 7 times in the first week and a half of the season, if you start off too slow, you can find yourself, you know, in real chase mode even at the end of this month, which is not something that you want. And, you know, Houston knew what was coming because that's why they went out and got Josh Hader from San Diego. It gives them one of the best. I mean, if Houston can get the lead to the 8th or the 9th, you're going to have a hard time beating them, even though Hader blew a save the other night. Because they got a lockdown bullpen, unlike the Rangers, who still trying to. I mean, Leclerc is a saver, is the closer, not his savior, but the closer. But he's been shady this year, and he's the guy who I think, well, I hope not, but he might always give you gray hair when closing the game. He always gonna have some base runners on there before he records the save. So that part is a little tricky, but. You know, I think when you look at the Rangers and you look at how they're comprised, the reason why they play the way they play, man, is Seager and Semien are flatliners. They don't care about the situation. Their manager is a flatliner. He's seen it all. He's experienced it all. He don't get too high when they win 10 straight. He don't get too low when they blow 3 saves because he's like, I'm in his for the long haul. And then you guys got like Garcia and the young guys who provide that juice right now. And when I look at him, man, I look at stuff like this. Like, Evan Carter, 0-15 to start the season. Longest hitless streak in the big leagues to start the season for a guy with more than 10 at-bats. But he had walked 7 times, which meant he was not chasing at a ridiculous rate trying to get that first hit. So what happened? He had 5 hits in the last 2 games. 3 hits last night. In a 7-2 win. That to me is what I mean when you say patience, flatliner. And he's a young guy. And then you got Wyatt Langford, who is batting third as a guy who's just now started playing the big leagues. You know, and he had a couple hits the other day. He's hitting about 250, 260, but he's hitting the ball hard. And so what I'm saying is the Rangers have got all these really good veterans and they've infused it with talent.
Yeah. I was gonna say,
talent that can play.
I was going to say that speaks to leadership right there. When you talk about Semien being a flatliner, telling that kid, hey, man, I'm here if you need me. You know what I'm saying? They going to try some different stuff because you've been knocking the hell out the ball. You just got, you know, when you see guys, the way guys approach stuff and when they go to work, it's good. It speaks to leadership to me.
No, it does. And so, you know, it's just interesting to watch the Rangers and how the whole franchise has changed. And you can really, the change starts with the, not just with Chris Young becoming the GM, president of baseball ops and all that. I can honestly tell y'all that I recognize it, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I was like, yeah, it's whatever. But when they spent all that money, $500 million with a B, on Seager at shortstop and Semien at second base, and he's just like, okay, I mean, I appreciate them spending money on the team and whatever, but okay, we seen Ohtani and Mike Trout not get it done in the Angels, and they two are the best in the league. So, you know, the fact that you added two players, big whoop-de-doo. But the Rangers did it, and those guys believed without seeing. They had faith that the guys that had been talked about in the farm system would develop. And then those guys are the epitome of kind of true Major League Baseball professionals. And I think their attitude between the two of them is rubbed off on everybody else. And that's why they win, man. They got a clubhouse where everybody's the same professional approach. You know, you got a couple guys who do their own thing, but those guys are workaholics at their craft. And I think that just bleeds down, man. They're the same guys every day, win or lose, 20-game hitting streak, over 20 slump. They never change, and the team is taking on their personality. And they're like a robot, man. They just methodically go about their business every day, mowing you down. And that serves you well over the course of 162 games where there's going to be highs and lows.
Yeah, it used to be the Rangers was a drop-off point for talent. You know, you get a Mark Teixeira or somebody like that in here, and supposed to be one of the future stars. Next thing you know, he gone for some trades or something. It was just like they just passing through. Yep. And the guys you kept was just above average, enough to get you some wins and fill the park up. But the front office, the coaching, the players, it's been a while since we had all three. You know, and that probably goes back to 2011 and all of that.
Yep. No, they got a plan, man. They're working it. And the Texas Rangers, they got, after this series, they got three with Oakland. And then they got three more with Houston in Houston next week. And so we'll know a lot more a week from now about where the Astros are and then whether they've been able to get some of their mojo back from the Rangers. Nah, man, let's take a trip around the block.
Can I give a shout out to Oakland? I got family living in Oakland. They losing all their sports teams. Everybody leave. The A's going to damn Sacramento.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oakland used to be like the cultural sports. You know what I'm saying? It was really happening, but that was 70s and 60s, 70s, 80s. But man, that used to be like the place to be, but damn. Anyway, I just feel kind of sad about that. Until my cousin start talking crap about the Cowboys, then I tell him how raggedy Oakland is and they ain't got no teams. But yeah, I do feel bad about that. But anyway.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to the block, dog.
To the block.
Had a boxing workout yesterday, man. And it's very interesting. I told you I've been going to the Bougie Gym. And the Bougie Gym has just a much different approach to everything, man. Normally, because I've had other boxing workouts. Normally when you get a boxing workout, they wrap your hands up. And they show you a little bit of positioning. And then let's go. Let's shadow box. Let's hit the heavy bag. Let's do a little speed work. Some mitt work and boom, you out. Well, at the Bougie Gym, dog, the boxing coach is a real boxer. I mean, meaning like he competed as an amateur and, you know, he spars on a regular basis and stuff. And so the first little portion of the workout was really about real technique and real, here's where you hold your hands and here's how you do this. And because you're learning so much, you're not really doing as much to get the workout in because you're learning these different poses and whatever. But I was really engaged because, you know, Have you done much real boxing?
Yeah, I was
I
like,
say real boxing as opposed to like just fighting.
I was like 0-3 for the boys club.
Oh, okay, so you know all about this.
Yeah, and it ran me straight to football. How about that?
Well, while he's showing me the proper technique, man, he says you got to be on the balls of your feet, so you need to have your one foot like this and so that you're never flat-footed. And so I had my one foot off the ground while we moving around, shadow boxing, throwing jabs and stuff. You know, my foot is sore as hell today, man, because it was in that what's the position? It was in a position it's not used to being in for that 45-minute workout yesterday. So it's sore as hell. And then while we were hitting the heavy bag, you know, my shoulders got sore. While we were hitting the mitts, my shoulders got sore as hell. You forget how much you use your shoulders when you're throwing punches. And so it was a very interesting workout. That's all I'm saying.
You might have a little tendonitis from lifting so much. That's when you... When you a constant lifter, you know, you get little tendonitis and injuries and stuff.
I got that in my elbows.
Yeah, you in great shape, but, you know, that still takes a toll on your body, all that working out.
Oh, well, you know, different. Everything you do requires a different set of muscles. So you could be in great shape as a sprinter and can't run 2 miles. Or you could be, you know, really strong but can't do 100 reps at a certain weight because you don't have muscle endurance.
Or you can take a boxing class and then mess with your homeboy and figure out that he can box a little bit. Huh? That's what you did last time. That's what I'm sitting there going, yeah, I remember years back, me and my son came over, you like, man, I've been taking these, and you start coming, I just cut the ring off on you. You was like, how you do that? I'm like, yeah, well, all right then.
Hey, man, I like to mess around once I started.
You're going to try it. You're going to learn it. And you're going to put it to practical exercise, homie. That's what I always do. That's what you do. Just leave me the hell alone. Or you're going to find out that the body may go, but the reflexes never die. How about that?
Because I was telling him, I said, yeah, I did boxing workout for a whole summer about 7-8 years ago.
Yep.
With a friend of mine who's a former boxing trainer.
Lord, I know. Don't I know it.
And the only reason we stopped, I think, was training camp showed up, and then I went off to California for 2 or 3 weeks, and the season was here, and it just wasn't conducive to doing the time of the day to get those workouts in. So I enjoyed it overall. It was a little too... it was really too much technical for me. I didn't want to be that technical. I just wanted to get a workout in. I didn't really want to know that much about boxing. I found it interesting, and he's a great, he would be a great coach if he was really into that. But I got to tell you, man, do you know what it costs for personal trainers these days?
I don't know what it costs you.
Well, I haven't had a personal trainer in a long time because, I just haven't had one.
Let me interrupt you right quick. You going to the bougie gym, so you gonna get your money's worth. You understand?
Bro, that's what I'm saying.
That's what he gave. If he'd have just said, "All right, man, punch that over there," I'd be right here. You'd been like, "Man, I paid all this damn money. He ain't showed me nothing." But paying a nice check, and he getting a nice check, and he didn't put you through the paces, but does he expect you to know that stuff next time?
Yeah, no, he was a that's what I'm telling you. He's a terrific trainer. He's terrific at what he was doing.
Yeah.
And this was a complimentary session. Because I knew it was a bougie gym, I knew it was gonna be expensive. I think the training sessions at Cowboys Fit, I think, are about $60-$65 an hour. Maybe $50 to $65 an hour, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
At the bougie gym, dog, training sessions are $140 an hour.
I can take you to Harry Washington's gym in Fort Worth.
and he's gonna
get you straight. He ain't gonna charge you that much.
Hey, dog, that man looked at me with a straight face and said, "Hey, Jacques, I think you're in good shape. I think I can help you get better right here." He said, "Go to the app. Let me show you the price things if you'd like to sign up for more." And he goes, "You know, if you just want one session, you know, it's this. But I would recommend, you know, either the most people get the 12-session package, or the 6-session package." He said, "Occasionally, I get the 48 session package, but that's only been, you know, two or three times since I've been here. Duh. And they're all at a discounted price like anything else the more you buy. But it was six sessions for $800. And it was 12 sessions for $1,500. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my other trainer would be jealous, man, if I started working out with you exclusively. So he was like, oh, well, you can only come once a month. I go, well, then I'm probably not getting my money's worth because I need to come more than that to really get out of.
Why you just didn't say no thank you, man? All that old extra shit right there. No thank you, man. You sound like you whispering in his ear or something. Hey,
at the
man.
End, I said, no thank you, dog. I'm good.
Yeah, I ain't finna tell all that other. You know what? I'm here, but I ain't here like that. Yeah. I'm here because I like this place is clean and I like to work out, but I'm not one of them that's here. You know what I'm saying? But I'm here. I don't know.
Right. Nah, I feel you, dog. So.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I make money, but I ain't got that. I ain't got time.
Yeah. This is my discretionary income at the gym.
Yeah.
Not the extra stuff. Yeah. But it was a good experience. He's a really good trainer. I would highly recommend him. He actually taught me some stuff on nutrition too. You know, I'm a guy who's always looking to learn a little bit. I say I learned two or three things from him, and that's good.
But you should I tell people when they learn boxing, treat boxing like karate. You know,
what do you mean?
That means that it's something that you learn. That if you fool around, start using that stuff, you're going to hurt somebody. Because it's, you know, like with people that don't know karate, go up against somebody who know karate. People that know boxing, know how to box a little bit, got the advantage over somebody that don't. Dude. You know.
No, they got a huge, because even if they just, you know, like, so we're working with technique. Okay, you start off with a jab, okay, and then a right hand, and then a left hook. Well, if you really just learn to master that three punch combination, your fights would not last very long with anybody. If you learn to master that, because you want, now if you it's weird in today's world because you have to feel threatened. But I've had a lot of fights in my life, none in the last 40 years. But I had a lot of fights when I was a kid. I never ever got hit first because, like, you can tell when you about to start fighting, and I was like, I'm finna throw the first one, and then we'll see what happened after that. But in boxing, if you were trained boxing and you up against somebody who's not, yeah, that jab, right hand, left hook, dog, they ain't got nothing for you after that.
Yeah, well, I don't worry about that. First of all, I'm southpaw.
You even worse.
Another thing is when you drop your hand, throw that hook, my right hand is already on you. So it's one of them things where if you know boxing a little bit, and I got my ass whooped a lot in boxing. You know,
anybody who's boxing has got their ass whooped a lot.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
While you
like,
learning, you done got your ass whooped.
Yeah, I was like 0-3. I'm like, that's it. You know what? I'm thinking I'm going to kick a football instead of let y'all kick me. How about that? I'm going to knock the hell out of somebody playing. Man, this boxing stuff, yeah. Because the thing about it, I think I was like 150 pounds. My 150 right. pounds was chubby. Guy walked up to me. There's no way he's 150 pounds. He got all them muscles. Mm. And it's just different. It's different when you young like that. Your 150 pounds, it looked like this, and his looked like that. And you psyched out right there. But
That's for real.
Yeah.
That's for real. Let me move on to your recipe of the week, man. Now, there's a lot of variety to this. Oh, before I give you my recipe, I want to give y'all a fitness eat right tip as we continue to work on getting your summer body right, if that's for you. And if it's not about your summer body, just about eating a little better, getting a little better shape so your life can be, the quality of your life can maintain wherever it is.
I had egg whites and chives yesterday.
See? That sounds delicious to me.
Man, egg whites, I had to go on the exit ramp, but egg whites don't look right. But they taste good. They weird look. You know, they weird looking. When you pour it in there, and then it's all clear, and then it, you know what I'm saying.
Take a minute to get used to.
Yeah, but it's good though.
No, that's and you know what I one of the things I tell people is two things you can do today that will help you lose weight and doesn't require you to do anything, change your dietary habits. And here's what it is. Just listen to me now. Get a digital food scale, which costs these days probably about $15. Have it, order it off of Amazon. Have it today, tomorrow, if you don't already have one. And here's the weirdest thing, but the easiest thing, dog. And I promise you, I haven't really done this consistently until the last, consistently being the key word, probably to the last 2 months. I've done it sometimes. I've done it occasionally. I've done it on some things, but not all things. But you know what I do almost every meal right now, bro? I eat the portion size that's on the package. If you do that, that'll change your life. I think I told y'all a few weeks ago that one of my hidden calorie things was I would grab a handful of nuts and eat them. Unsalted nut, mixed nuts. But I would grab a handful probably three times a day. And there's 170 calories. I said, well, you know, if I'm eating a couple of ounces, that's an extra 600 calories. I mean, 900 calories a day, almost 1,000 calories a day. And I'm thinking it's like, you know, just a couple hundred. Because the serving size is 1 ounce. You know, so the other day, man, I poured out the same normal handful of nuts I put in my hand. You know how many ounces that was, bro? 3.8. Damn near 4 ounces of nuts I was eating at once three times a day. Wondering, how come I can't get these last stubborn few pounds off? Well, I was eating damn near 1,000 calories in nuts, not even realizing it. It's one thing if you realize it. It's another thing if you don't. Now, some people might look at me weird. I like organic sweet potato fries. I get them at Costco. 3 pound bag, $10. The serving size is 16 fries. So, yes, I'm that guy. I reach in the bag, I put them on the sheet, 16. If I want 2 servings, I pull out 32. But that way you have your portion control and you'd be shocked. You can eat 16 fries and be like, you know what? I'm actually good. I thought I needed more, but I don't. So if you eat the serving size and get it either by counting or on your digital scale, you will see how you can make some real changes and still eat the stuff that you like. You're just eating the right portion size. I'm also sad to admit that I know that 178 grams of broccoli is just about 2 cups. Because if you eat 2 cups of vegetables with your meals, it'll fill you up. And get a vegetable that you like. But 2 cups will fill you up. Eat that with 2 or 3 meals a day, and the weight will fall off. So there's my dietary tip for you today. Now, my recipe for the day, man. This is a very versatile meal. Starts with, you guessed it, 2 cups of steamed broccoli. Here's the trick for steamed broccoli. Get broccoli that's frozen, florets, that's what I like. You can get them anywhere. You can take them straight out of the freezer, put them in a bowl, measure out 178 grams, 180 grams, that's 2 cups. Put them in a bowl, plastic bowl, glass bowl, in the microwave for 2.5 minutes, 2 minutes, 45 seconds. That will steam your broccoli. The ice from the freezer will create the water that steams the broccoli. 2.5 minutes is all it takes for some steamed broccoli. Put a little garlic parmesan on there. You're good to go. Then put yourself 4 ounces of chicken or 4 ounces of steak or 4 ounces of shrimp in your air fryer. Season it how you want it. Cook it for usually 10 minutes on air fry. You can experiment depending on how powerful your air fryer is, 9 to 11 minutes. Take that 8 ounces of meat. I mean, you can put 4 ounces of one meat if you want. I like a little versatility. Mix that 8 ounces of meat with your broccoli. Put a little soy sauce on it, a little teriyaki sauce, just a little bit, whatever your little sauce of choice is. And you're good to go with a very high protein chicken, shrimp, broccoli bowl that I like to say would cost you about $15 at a restaurant. But that broccoli, 2 cups, makes it real filling. The meat gives you the protein, and you are good to go. Under a 15-minute meal that's high protein and very filling and delicious, if I might say so myself. But there's your recipe for the week. I hope you enjoy it.
Sounds good.
And that's our quick little trip around the block this week.
All that measuring and stuff, I leaned back and grabbed a box of Monarch 223, 55 grain, full metal jacket.
What the hell?
I was just sitting there going, yeah, you didn't make me hungry. You made me want to go to the range with all them measurements. That's a round right there. I wonder what the serving. Okay. I wonder what the serving size is on them. 55 grain, full metal jacket, 223 round. I wonder what that. I reached back. And I got a box of that right here. I was thinking, but all them measurements and all that. I think the broccoli. All kidding aside, I think the broccoli might be pretty good. That might be something I might enjoy right there.
Yeah, try it out, man.
Yeah,
try it out.
I've been steaming broccoli, but I ain't, you know what, it ain't that good when you don't add nothing to it.
Well, that's what I say. You can add a little bit of garlic parmesan. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I would encourage all y'all to do that. One of the things you do when you're eating right and you're eating healthy, but remember, the key is it's got to be, to me, the key is it's got to be good and good for you. I'm not trying to eat a bunch of nasty food. I'm just not. So for me, it's got to be good and good for you. And the way you can make it good and good for you is increase your spice rack.
Yeah.
There's a lot of spices out there, man.
Yeah, most definitely that.
A lot of spices.
That's what I was talking about when we was talking about egg whites before. I ate the damn McDonald's Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
And that was horrible. They don't season it. They didn't. They had that. I was trying to do the right thing, and they're just like, ah, the hell with that. But the other day, I put a little slap your mama on that, just a little bit. Some pepper, a little pepper, and some chives, and a little cheese. Cooked that shit. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's how you have to do it. Spice. Like, I think I told y'all, I got 5 or 6 types of garlic up in my cabinet. So, you know, because I'm a garlic guy. But, you know, there's a bunch of spices out there. Sriracha, you know, paprika, smoked paprika. I mean, there's just 1,000 spices.
Yeah.
Curry. Just try them.
Yeah, I hit it with
see what you like.
I hit it with a little Cholula.
There you go. See, I don't like none of them.
Yeah.
But that's me. If it worked for you, knock yourself out. All of that is good. But spices will take your food to a whole nother category without adding calories.
You don't like Cholula, though?
No, I don't like Cholula. I don't like hot sauce. You know, I don't like buffalo wings.
You're a strange piece of change, player.
I don't like buffalo, like traditional hot buffalo wing sauce. I don't like that.
I eat them.
But you know, that's me, man.
Yep.
I like lemon pepper wings. I like garlic wings.
It's all good.
You know, me and wings is a notorious story.
Hey, man, they didn't even cross my mind. Truthfully,
matter of fact,
last time I said something about that, I got kind of cussed at a little bit.
Hey, man, the block is over. Let's move on to our last topic.
Roger that. The block is over. He just called the block over. No segue, no nothing.
I mean, I tried to give a segue. You brought it back. This is something that's been bothering me, and it's time me to get it off my chest. Maybe a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I heard day in and day out from a lot of folks on sports talk radio. So take that for what it's worth. Jason Kidd ain't no good. Jason Kidd is a horrible coach. Mavericks need to fire Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is a robot. He doesn't do anything to help the Mavericks win. Blase, 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 blase. On and on and on to the break of dawn. You know, the Mavericks are 21-3 in their last 24 games. They ended Houston's 10-game winning streak. They ended Golden State's 6-game winning streak. They are a game and a half up in fifth place in the West. They playing some of the best basketball in the league. And I ain't heard a single one of them people give Jason Kidd any credit. And I've been a big believer in this. See, I came up with this, man, years and years and years ago. Sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a week, a day, a month from now. Because sports is fluid. What was true 6 weeks ago, the Mavericks can't do this, they can't do that, might not be true today. Matter of fact, it ain't true today. And so when you say it like that and you accept it like that, you know why I do that, man? You know why that's good? I'm going to tell you why. Because then you don't have to feel like you were wrong. Like, oh, I said this, so I can't go back and say it's changed because then that says I'm wrong. You're not wrong. The situation and the circumstance changed. And so I wanted to bring this up because I thought it was important, because I hear a lot about Jason Kidd, one of the greatest point guards ever. Don't do nothing to help the Mavericks win. So let me give you two things he's done to help the Mavericks win this year. Now, I'm sure there are other examples, but I'm going to tell you this one specifically. The Mavericks up by 2 on the Warriors the other day. There's about 4 seconds left in the game, 4 or 5 seconds left. Warriors had the ball out of bounds, and they throw it in. And we all know, who taking the last shot, dog? It's Steph Curry, right? Steph Curry going to take the last shot. 3 wins it, 2 ties. And I got to tell y'all, I'm like, Steph Curry is that dude, man. If he hit a 3 and win it, I ain't even going to be surprised. I mean, that's what I'm saying to myself. Because I tweeted out there, or X'd out there, everybody knows Steph Curry finna take this last shot. It's just a matter of whether he make it or miss it. Ball is inbounded to Steph Curry. And you know what your little Mavericks did, man? They threw a hard double team at Steph Curry. It was so hard, he had to give up the rock, man. Steph Curry, game on the line, had to give up the rock because they gave him a double team so hard he had no choice but to give up the rock. Gave it up to Klay Thompson, who missed a contested 3, game over, Mavericks win. Can Jason Kidd get some credit? Can Jason Kidd get some credit?
It's only 3 coaches in the NBA. Eric Spoelstra, Steve Kerr, and your boy in San Antonio.
Yep.
It's only 3. The rest of them, sometimes they're good, sometimes they can go fly a kite. Jason get credit right now for being a good coach. Like you said, it's fluid, but it's only really 3 coaches in the whole NBA. The rest of them, whether you don't want a championship or not, they could get fired tomorrow. If you fire Jason Kidd at the middle of the season or the beginning of the season, I would have said, okay, who's next? If you fire Jason Kidd right now, you're crazy because they playing well. That's just the guys who not named Kerr or Spoelstra or your boy in San Antonio. It's just okay. The way it go. I mean, Doc Rivers gets fired and Doc Rivers take Adrian Griffin's spot, and then them guys, it's just musical chairs type of thing. So I think Jason could get credit, but not too damn much because it's
okay, let me give you the other thing that he should be credited for. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really said.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned it several times.
Talking about Kyrie?
Yeah. That's a okay. Part of coaching is like part of teaching. How to get the most out of guys. How to get guys to perform to their maximum ability.
Okay. Well, and Kyrie is also, you said it, where his homeboy is in the office, in the front office. See, the whole is not, Jason gets a little credit, but the whole thing, Mark Cuban and the guy that spent time with him in AAU, and his age, it's the sum of all parts with Kyrie. I think with, hey, I got to play somewhere. This place ain't that bad. I'm on a team with another superstar. They letting me be me. I'm going to give Jason his credit. But it's really the all-around. Because Jason could be an asshole. And I think he learned in Milwaukee that ain't the way to go.
All I said was Jason Kidd deserved some credit. I didn't say he deserved all the credit.
Yeah, but...
But he ain't received none of the credit.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Let's get the finished product and all of that. Let's see what happens. Because he got time to be a jackass again. He got time to do that. Give him time. Either going to get better or he going to get worse. One of them. Ain't no in between with him.
Well, I think if you look at it right now, and that's all I'm looking at. All I heard was for 6 weeks and most of this season last, Jason Kidd ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Terrible coach, blah, blah, blah. So all I'm saying is, while he's doing well, can he get some hand clap? Because we know when they don't do well, it's going to be all his fault. Yeah. So that's really all I'm saying. I'm really pointing out that Jason Kidd has done a nice job in whatever his role has been, figuring out how to get Kyrie to be the best basketball player he can be.
Yeah.
And getting him and Luka to help them figure out a way for them to coexist, to integrate Gafford and P.J. Washington into the team quickly, because they had a pretty quick a meshing. And he's done a good job in the second half of the season. And now we'll see what he does in the playoffs. But he's put him in position to do well in the playoffs. Now, you got to finish the job, and you got to.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
You know, I like to say, go ahead.
I never thought he was terrible, but I never thought he was great either. You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's
just something. You know, I never said, it was either, okay, you coming or going. Which one you going to do? So he getting some good results right now. I thought that he'd be a better coach earlier in his career, because you know great point guards, maybe you could compare him to Isaiah. Isaiah was a great point, Hall of Fame point guard. He was okay as a coach. That's what really surprised me with his pedigree. Same thing with Jason. I thought he'd be a better coach, but no, I didn't think he was terrible. It was the Mavericks, man. The organization and all that. Maybe they're getting that together. I don't know.
Well, the bottom line is the Mavericks playing some of the best ball in the league. Jason Kidd's doing a good job. And I just wanted a few folks to acknowledge that. That's all.
I'm going to acknowledge that.
And that's it. No more, no less.
Yes, sir. I agree with you.
Because we kick people when they're down, and that's okay. When you struggle, it's okay to be criticized. And when you do well, it's okay to be praised. And, you know, the best media people are okay with doing both. You can kick Jason Kidd's ass when he screw up, and you can give him his flowers when he does well. And it doesn't mean that you think one way or another. You're just reacting off of what his current situation is. And that's okay. But, you know, we can't do the show without our good friends at Green and Law, nor can we do it without our good friends at Smokey John's Barbecue. Their support helps us do what we do. Remember, please, follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. Go to the YouTube channel. Check it out at The Real Jacques Talk. We got some big things going on in May. We'll probably start telling you a little bit about them in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then I'm on Twitter, X, at JJT Journalist. I forgot my other account was hijacked. I have to tell y'all about that one day once it gets resolved. And you can find me on Clapper. Yes, it's really not new. It's been out there for a minute. It's similar to TikTok, but I'm on Clapper. That's where I do a lot of my Cowboys content, a lot of videos over there, a lot of stuff that you'll find interesting. So go find me over there at I Am Jean-Jacques Taylor. So for Big Joe and the Big Rig, y'all enjoy the eclipse today. And you know what? We didn't talk about the eclipse, man. You excited about the eclipse?
Nah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell y'all about my eclipse experience on Wednesday. For Big Joe, until we get a Big Joe and the Big Rig, until we chat again, you guys be blessed.